Hello, and thank you for joining us again. Sorry we all can't be together today, but we are now entering into Holy Week. Today is our Palm Sunday service, and so we're grateful for you to be with us. Thank you for watching from home. Thank you for staying safe and helping others in the community to also stay safe. And we hope that you can enjoy this time of worship together. As you just heard, we have a special addition to what we're doing this week. We are appreciating that Nancy is here with us to provide a little bit of piano music for the service today, and I'm sure that you will enjoy that as you listen along at home. Next week, of course, we're entering into Holy Week, and so next week what we're planning to do is to provide a Holy Week service, a Maundy Thursday Good Friday service, which will be scripture readings, we hope more music and prayers. And then, of course, for next Sunday, we will again have to record, but we will make a special Easter celebration service and look forward to celebrating the resurrection of our Lord. So today with Palm Sunday, and then we head into Holy Week and look forward to Easter next week. But we appreciate you watching from home and being a part of this. As you know, the state of Illinois has extended the stay-at-home order for virtually everyone. So again, please continue to stay safe. Do what you can to keep your distance from others and to try to get through this time. That also means, unfortunately for us here at Broadway, that all of our usual church events and gatherings and activities will continue to be suspended through the month of April. We're certainly hopeful and prayerful that by May we will be back and at least be able to start doing some of our ministries again. So we can look forward to that time. But again, we're grateful that you're here to join with us today. Whenever you're watching this, wherever you're watching it, may God be with you now. And we give this time to the Lord as we gather together. So it's Palm Sunday, and we're going to begin with a reading from the Palm Sunday story. This is from Mark chapter 11, and I know this story will be familiar as you listen along. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the ground, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest!' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. As we continue our worship, it's appropriate to remind you again, and I hope you don't mind, even though we're not all together here in the church building, but to remind you that we are still operating as a church, and so we are still in need of the support that you are able to provide, and want to thank you. I know there are many who have been mailing in offerings. Some have even been dropping them off at the church, although I will tell you that we're not really open during the week, and so if you show up and you don't have a key to the church, you might not be able to get in, depending on when you arrive. But we do appreciate you continuing to support our ministry and enabling us not only to continue what we're doing, but also to be supportive to our denomination and to local and international mission agencies that we support through our budget. So we appreciate what you're doing to continue giving. God's Word says this to us: God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And so we thank you for the gifts you've been giving, and we trust that God will continue to bless us even through this unusual time. Let me invite you now, wherever you are as you watch this, to close your eyes and join me in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we give you thanks for all the ways that you provide for us. We thank you, Lord, for your love, for the story of Jesus that gives us hope. Lord, Jesus came into a difficult and dark world. He came into a world where he was not welcome and where he was often outcast. And so, Father, as we go through this time of feeling isolated from one another and the uncertainty of the situation around us, and Lord, I'm sure that many are feeling fear and anxiety now, help us to remember that you sent Jesus to us to give us peace and to give us hope and to give us the certainty that you hold us safely in your strong hands. Lord, we also give you thanks that we can continue to celebrate the story of Holy Week as we think about Jesus celebrated as King today on Palm Sunday. And then as we go through this week, we remember how he was betrayed and arrested and sent to the cross. And Lord, we look forward to, with great anticipation, our celebration next week of Jesus' resurrection. So, Father, bless this time of worship. Bless our celebrations. And, Father, help us to find times, even in our homes, even if we're all alone, to remember the story of why Jesus came and what he's done for us. Lord, I lift up to you our church family today. I pray for those who are in need of healing. Lord, we know there are issues in our lives that are always a burden for us, even beyond the coronavirus and all that we're hearing in the news today. And so, Father, for all of those burdens that we carry, whether it's illness or worry or financial concerns or relationship issues or just the uncertainty of this moment, Lord, I pray that you would draw near to us, encourage us, and lift us up during this time. Father, we also continue to pray for our nation and our community. We think especially today of those who are working in hospitals and doctor's offices and those who have to go to work to care for the sick and to be a support for those who are dealing with the effects of all that's happening in our world. Lord, protect doctors and nurses and other healthcare providers. Be with our leaders, our national and local leaders, as they make difficult decisions. Father, we also pray today for our schools as they're not able to be together in the school buildings but are continuing to carry on education. I pray, Lord, for teachers, for administrators. We pray also, Lord, for the young people in our community and for parents who are helping to educate their kids at home. Lord, give strength to those who need it today. We thank you that we can depend on you for all that we need. So, Lord, we praise you now. We thank you for this Palm Sunday celebration, and I pray that you would be with us now as we continue, even far apart and at different times, even in this unusual way, to join our hearts together as we worship you, Lord, as we pray to you. And now as we open up your word, Lord, I pray that you would speak into each of our hearts. And help us, Father, to hear what you have for us today as we pray all these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Well, it may seem a bit insignificant now, but this whole virus situation and national shutdown and all the things that now have become kind of what we're all used to over these past couple weeks, but it all started to feel serious for me when they canceled all the sporting events. And you might remember that 2 or 3 weeks ago. Time is all running together now, but there were NBA games about to be started. Players were on the court or in the locker rooms, and suddenly they said, no, cancel the games, everybody go home, and they sent the fans home. And then it was the NCAA tournament. First they were going to play in front of empty stadiums, no fans allowed, and then a day or so later they said, no, we need to cancel altogether. As a basketball fan, I took that news pretty hard, as I'm sure a lot of people did. But again, that's kind of the least of our concerns these days. Interestingly, though, along that line of thought, you may have noticed, depending on what channels you turn on, in particular on the weekends, networks have been re-airing old sporting events. And so they've been showing old basketball games and NCAA tournament, Final Four and championship games, and amazingly enough, even old golf tournaments, as if watching golf live wasn't boring enough. Now you get to watch it knowing what the outcome is going to be. But they've been showing this, and I've watched a little bit, and it's interesting to see the crowds and to watch as they play the game and all the thousands of people cheering and standing or sitting shoulder to shoulder and back in a happier time, back when life was what it used to be. And it makes me think, will we ever be able to go back to those days? Will we ever get back to being out in public again? And I believe we will. It's a little hard to imagine right now, but someday we will feel comfortable again with all the stadiums filled and our church filled with people, and someday we will get back to that sort of life as normal. And we look forward to that time for sure, but there are many things that we used to take for granted that we've lost now, at least for a time. We can't read the Palm Sunday story without thinking about the crowd that gathered around Jesus. Hundreds of people, maybe even thousands of people, who came out from Jerusalem and the surrounding communities carrying their palm branches, shouting and singing and praising Jesus and all rejoicing together. And they gathered together, that great crowd on Palm Sunday. They came together without fear or anxiety. They came together instead in faith and with joy in their hearts as they celebrated Jesus as their King. And it was this beautiful and glorious moment. The people had found in Jesus what their hearts desired. They found a man of God. They found a miracle worker. They found a wise teacher. They found in Jesus someone they could trust. They had found their King. Of course, it was only a few days later when Jesus was betrayed and arrested and sentenced to die. As we enter into this Holy Week, I want to help us to remember that Jesus is our King. We've already read the Palm Sunday story from Mark chapter 11, and so now I want to share another passage from later in Mark, later in the story, from Mark chapter 15. And this is another time when Jesus was hailed as King, but this time in a very different way. So this is Mark chapter 15, beginning at verse 16. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put on his own clothes again. Then they led him out to crucify him. I imagine those Roman soldiers had no idea who Jesus really was. They probably didn't even really understand why they had been assigned to to torture him and then to kill him. Roman soldiers, though, were good at this sort of thing. They made mockery into an art form. They turned inflicting pain into theater. They seemed to enjoy doing these terrible things to Jesus. And to say that Jesus didn't deserve this sort of treatment is maybe the greatest understatement imaginable. Jesus is the King of Kings. Jesus is the author of life. Jesus is Emmanuel, God who came to be with us. And the Roman soldiers treated him like garbage. They used him for their sport of humiliation and cruelty. We'll come back to the soldiers in a moment and how they mocked Jesus, but I want to first return back to the Palm Sunday story and the Palm Sunday crowd. The people of Jerusalem came out to cheer for Jesus on Palm Sunday because of all that they had seen, all they had experienced with Jesus. He had performed miracles. He had healed people. Jesus had cast out demons. He had taught God's word with wisdom and power. He had told stories that cut people to their hearts. He had proclaimed the good news and the arrival of God's kingdom. He's the King, and He came to bring the kingdom of God among us. So the crowd that day had lots of reasons to celebrate Jesus. And that day, Jesus gave them a special reason to celebrate as He made His way down from the Mount of Olives, and there's a valley that separates the Mount of Olives, then up to Jerusalem where the temple was and all the buildings there in Jerusalem. And Jesus came riding on a donkey, which was a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, that the King would come riding on a donkey and the people would come out and greet Him, shouting aloud and waving palm branches. All of this had been planned and predicted by God. You see, it wasn't the crowd's idea to make Jesus the King. The truth is, Jesus was already the King. When Jesus came into the world, when He was born as a little baby, He was already the King. When Jesus grew up and began His ministry, He was already the King. When Jesus healed people and cast out demons and taught the crowds, Jesus was already the King. When He proclaimed good news, when He said the kingdom of God has come among you, He meant that He was already the King and He came to live among us. What happened on Palm Sunday was a public celebration of who Jesus truly is, that He is our King. He's our King always and forever. So I want us today to see our lives in these two stories. In the Palm Sunday story and then in the Roman soldiers who mocked Jesus. And I want to begin with this, that at our best, we join the Palm Sunday crowd rejoicing that Jesus is our King. He's our King when we worship Him and when we pray and when we rejoice. He's our King also when we suffer and when we mourn. He's our King when the world is peaceful and happy and everything is going along the way we expect it to. And Jesus is also still our King when we face hardship and worry. At our best, we rejoice that Jesus rules over us. We rejoice because He's a good King. He's kind and He's powerful and He's compassionate to us. We aren't able to be together all in one place as we gather to celebrate here. We can't, as we normally would on a Palm Sunday, wave the palm branches each in our pew as we sing the familiar hymns. We can't be together in that way, but we can still rejoice. We still do rejoice that Jesus is our King. We can lift up our hearts. We can even lift up our voices. And maybe as we listen to some of the music in the service today, maybe you sing along Maybe you'll find other ways that you can sing and rejoice before Jesus in that way. You can also tell the story of who Jesus is to your friends, to your family, to your neighbors. You can pick up the phone or through the internet. There are lots of ways to connect. You can honor and obey Jesus as your King by how you live your life. And so at our very best, we rejoice that Jesus is our King. The truth is, though, we are not always at our best, which is why Jesus had to go to the cross. And it's why we need to remember the story of the Roman soldiers. Again, the soldiers probably didn't know much about Jesus. They must have heard he claims to be a king, and they thought that must have been pretty funny, because here they were torturing him. How absurd, how stupid it is for this man to think that he's king. And of course, they believed the only king was Caesar, sitting on his throne far off in Rome. And so they gave this fool in front of them what he deserves. So they put a purple robe over his shoulders. They found some thorny branches and they twisted them together into a crude crown and they placed it on his head. And then they knelt down before him and they laughed and they taunted him. And they beat him in the head. And they spit on him. And we have a hard time reading these things. It offends us because we know who Jesus is. This part of the story turns our stomach. What Jesus suffered at the hands of the soldiers and all that he endured as he went to the cross, Jesus suffered on our behalf. He paid for our sin through his suffering. And he did it not because we are such good people. He did it because we are sinners. Because we need someone to pay for our sin. And so the Roman soldiers confront us with this hard truth that at our worst, we mock Jesus with our sinful actions and attitudes. Now, I know what we like to think as we read a story like this. We like to think, well, if I had been there, I would have defended Jesus. I would have tried to stop the soldiers from what they were doing. I would have begged them to stop torturing Jesus. I know we all think that as we read the story. But then in the worst moments of my life, I deny even knowing Jesus. I disobey his word. I choose my own selfish path through life instead of following him. I say that I believe in him, but then I turn around and I act in foolish ways that dishonor him. At our worst, we are sinners. We are base, boastful, brazen sinners. And we make a mockery of Jesus with every sin that we commit. So here's the good news. Jesus is still your King. He still loves you. He still offers you forgiveness. He still promises you everlasting life. So as we set these two stories, Palm Sunday and the Roman soldiers, side by side, we find this wonderful and amazing truth that Jesus is our King of glory and of grace. On Palm Sunday, Jesus was celebrated as the glorious King. Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus is our glorious King. He is perfect in power and majesty and holiness and love. But we also remember this sobering truth, that on the way to the cross, Jesus allowed himself to be mocked. He allowed himself to suffer. And finally, he allowed himself to be killed because he is our King of grace. Our King loves us far more than we deserve. Our King died for us, to save us and set us free. And so let me leave you today with this challenge, that Palm Sunday calls us to rejoice and to repent. We rejoice in who Jesus is. We rejoice in all that He has done for us. We bring Him our hosannas. We glorify His name in praise and worship and prayer and devotion. We also honor Him. We obey Him in all that we do. And as we do that, we declare, we proclaim that He is our King. But we also repent. We repent of our sin. We turn away from our selfishness and greed and pride. We stop following the ways of this world, and instead we turn toward God and toward His Word, and we follow the example of life and of love that Jesus has given us. And we share His love and His message with people in need. Jesus is our King, and we rejoice today in His glory and His grace. Let me pray for you again. Gracious Father, we give You thanks today for the amazing truth of who Jesus is, the good news that Jesus came into this world to save us. He came to die for us. He came to suffer, to pay for our sin. And so, Lord, as we celebrate today, Palm Sunday, as we rejoice that He is our King, we also remember, Lord, we remember to confess our sins before You and to seek Your forgiveness. And Father, I pray for all those who are listening and watching right now. I pray that You would encourage them, give them hope and healing and strength. And give them, Lord, joy in knowing that Jesus is still our King. He is still powerful. He is still loving and gracious. And Father, I pray that You'd help us to live lives that honor Jesus. Live lives that still somehow show the world around us that Jesus is our King. That we love Him and that through Jesus You love everyone in this world. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. And we pray these things in the name of our Savior. Amen. I want to thank you again for being with us during this time of worship today. I want to thank Nancy also for being here to play some music, and Kent, who you don't see behind the scenes. Now receive the blessing of God's Word. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.